You don't know who I am. I'm Craig, the senior minister here, and it's great to have you along this morning. Thank you very much for bringing that up. Now, I'm sure we'd all agree that our names are very important to us. And of course, each of our names have a meaning. Who would like to find out, if you don't know already, the meaning of your name? We've got Andrew, a tech expert on computer this morning. He's going to go on a website and find out the meaning of your name. Okay, who would like to find out the meaning of your name? Sashi. Okay. Here we go. Traditional name for the moon. It literally means having a hair. Okay. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah. Jeff? Yep. J-E-double-F?
Yep.
Short form of Jeffrey. A variant of Jeffrey. Medieval variant of Jeffrey. Okay. Fred Peace. Okay. Okay. Peace. Okay. Anybody else? Ben. Okay. Oh, which one? Oh, lots of choices there. Benjamin. Okay. Son of the South or son of the right hand. Okay, from the Hebrew. Okay, anybody else? Like the Liam. Liam, L-I-A-M. Short form of William. Okay. And will helmet. Okay. Elements will desire. Okay. Here's Katie. Okay, what does Katie mean? This will be our last one. Diminutive of Kate. Catherine. Okay. Okay. Oh, there's a bit of debate about this, apparently. Each of the two. Okay. Now, sometimes... Now, sometimes parents choose the name of their children based on what the name means. But I think most times in our culture, we don't care about that. If the name sounds good, we give that name to our child, or if it's been in the family for a while. The meanings of our name for us perhaps aren't that important. But in the Bible, the meaning of names was always important, is always important, and determined what name was given. And we see that with the birth of the child to Mary. In the Bible, names are always significant. They tell us about what God is doing or about to do, the circumstances of a birth. Very important names are in the Bible. And this morning we're looking at three names of the child born to Mary. As you came in, you received this blue sheet, and on it is Matthew chapter 1, the first book of the Gospel, the account of the good news of Jesus, written by Matthew. Lots of names there. Jesus comes from the family of Abraham, of David. And I want you to find on this sheet, look at the back and the front, three names given to the child born to Mary. Now, there's a bit of help there. Have a look at the blue sheet. Okay, we have one. I heard a call. Okay. Christ. Emmanuel. And Jesus. Okay. And all this tells us how big Christmas is. Now, I've had a bit of practice already, haven't we? Whenever you see the word big on the screen, okay, we've got to say big. Make it a big, big, okay? Christmas is Big. What is it? Christmas is?
Big.
Okay. Now, we've found the names on the sheet of paper here. What we're going to do now is find the meaning of the names and the names themselves. They're under chairs here this morning. Okay? So when you look underneath the chairs, we've got to find 9 bits of paper. The name, the meaning of the name, and a picture to help us understand. If you find it, please come forward. You got 2. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Actually, Steve, put that down that side. Okay, Christ, we'll put over here. Thank you. Actually, Steve, at this side. God, actually, no, we'll pop this over here. Actually, no, sorry, bring it over here, thanks. Okay, God's promised king. Now, we've got a life-saving. What else do we have here? God with us, thank you. We'll pop that on. Okay, the Christ. The Lord saves, thank you. Oh, we've got one missing.
Oh, dear.
Jesus is missing. We can't have Jesus missing. Have we found Jesus yet? He's somewhere. Okay. Well, as we keep going, okay. So just imagine Jesus here. Okay. So we've got 3 names of the child born. We've got Christ. Okay. Here, Christ. And that means the promised king. See, Christ is not the surname of Jesus. It's his title. He is the Christ or the King, the promised King from the Old Testament. And we've got the name Jesus. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. And look back to the blue sheet. What kind of Saviour did Jesus come to be? He will save his people from their sins. That tells us what kind of Saviour King Jesus is, to save us from our sin. And perhaps the most important and the biggest name of all, in a sense, the Lord. So we found Jesus. Hey, oh, new one. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Jesus means the Lord saves, and Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. The Emmanuel child, God with us, who is the King who came to save. That tells us, and that explains why Christmas is
big.
What is Christmas? It is
big.
Okay. Now, here's a summary. God entered the world to save his people from their sin. God, the creator of all, entered our world to save his people from their sin, as the Christ, as the promised one. See, there's nothing God can't do, even entering our world to save his people from their sin. But we might say, well, still, so what about that? Well, the names given to the child, these 3 names here, they give us some answers to questions we or others might have about God, the world, and ourselves. For example, is there a God? Now, you may not have this question yourself, but you probably have people that you know who have that question. Is there a God? Or you might have this question. Where is God? There might be a God somewhere, but where is this God that people talk about? Here's another question that you or others might have. Why doesn't God do something about the mess the world is in? And recently, of course, we've been thinking about and people experiencing bushfires, there's volcanoes over in New Zealand, there's people suffering and dying with that, and there's always people suffering with cancer and sickness, there's car accidents, there's a whole range of things, isn't there? Always happening. And you might be thinking, or others you know thinking, why doesn't God do something about the mess? Also, you might be thinking, why doesn't God do something about the mess that I'm in? Or the guilt and the shame that I feel? Broken relationships, the loneliness and things that I feel. Why doesn't God do something about that? You may not have those questions, or you might. If you do, that's great. It is great to have questions. And you've come to the right place to get answers this morning. Now, these can help us, but they can also help equip us to share these answers with others. Maybe today, as you have dinner, lunch with others, they might ask, so what did you do this morning? You might say, well, I've been up since 3 a.m. with presents, or 6 a.m. or something. And then we went to church and we heard three names given to the child. What are those three names again? Emmanuel, Christ, and Jesus. And it gives us some important answers to these kind of questions. This child and his three names gives us some answers. See, God entered the world to save his people from their sin. Is there a God? You bet there is. You look at the birth of this baby, that tells us front and center there is a God. God came to earth. God became a human being. Is there a God? Yes, you look at this child. As he grew up, he demonstrated that he is the creator, all that he did and said. Where is God? You might say, God is nowhere. Well, with the birth of Jesus, we can say God is now here. And again, when people looked at Jesus, they saw God the creator. The one who was invisible became visible. And today, if you want to find where God is, you grab a copy of one of the accounts of the life of Jesus. We've got some up the back. Please take one, and that's where you find God, where you hear the story about Jesus, what he did and said. And the other question, perhaps a bigger question we might have, why doesn't God do something about the mess the world's in? Well, the wonderful thing about Christmas is that this is God reminding us that he has done something about the mess the world is in. See, the reason there's a mess in the world is because of sin. The reason there's a mess is because of people. We've rejected our Creator. We've gone our own way, and we suffer the consequences of that. The whole world is under judgment of God. But God has come to rescue us from that judgment. He's always had a plan, even from the beginning of time. God had a plan to rescue from sin. And with Jesus coming, God is turned up. Why doesn't God do something? Well, he has. He turned up 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world in Israel. He turned up to continue his plan of fixing the world, to right things that are wrong, to take upon himself the judgment that we deserved. And you read a gospel, you hear about the amazing things Jesus did, like raising the dead, healing the sick. What Jesus did there was give us a glimpse of the new world that's coming. Where there is no more sin or death or suffering or pain. And he's calling on us now to turn back to him so we're part of that new world that's coming. Well, doesn't God do something? Well, he has. He's turned up. He turned up 2,000 years ago, and now he continues to work through his people. And in the light of all the suffering going on, God says to his people, I am with you. I love you. I am with you. God turned up in Jesus. He knows what it's like to suffer pain and heartache and suffering. God says to us, if we're with Jesus here this morning, I'm with you in your suffering and pain. And I'm taking you to the new world where there's no more suffering, death or pain. And he says to those who don't believe in Jesus through all the suffering and pain, he says, I love you and I warn you. Now, we cannot say that people who suffer are any worse than others who suffer, who don't suffer as much. Jesus, in Luke chapter 13, talked about some people who had died because a tower had fallen on them. And he said to the people around him, were they worse sinners because that happened to them? Jesus said, no. But unless you repent, you too will perish. See, the suffering and pain that we and others experience is like saying, is God saying to us, there's something wrong with the world. And what's wrong with the world is us. We've turned our back on God. Those who suffer badly aren't worse than others, but it's God's warning sign to us, to everybody. Turn back to me. And so, as you talk to people today, all the suffering, the bushfires and things like that, God is with his people in that, and he's warning us as well. It's like a fire alarm. That goes off, you think, oh, that hurts my ears. It's an inconvenience. You might suffer from that a bit. But a whole lot better to suffer that little bit of pain than be caught up in the fire, isn't it? Warning signs are good, aren't they? They're for our benefit. That's what natural disasters and sickness and that is God's warning sign to us. Turn back to me before something worse happens. See, Jesus will come back. There will be a judgment. For those that are his, we will be part of the wonderful new creation that's coming. Why doesn't God do something about the world? Well, he has and he is and he will. And a bit more personal perhaps, why doesn't God do something about the situations that I'm in? Well, my guilt and shame and brokenness and loneliness. Well, the wonderful thing is, see, this baby grew up as the Christ, as the King. And he came to save, to rescue. He came to take upon himself the judgment that we deserve. And so as we turn to him, we can know forgiveness for ever going astray from God. The guilt goes. The shame goes. Broken relationship with God is restored. And you're never lonely ever again, because the Emmanuel child has come, God with us. Jesus, of course, now is in heaven, but he sent his Spirit. That's how Jesus continues to be with his people. And so, God has done something. That's why Christmas is big. It's big. The three names of the child born to Mary, Christmas is what?
Big.
Now, I'm aware that what I've just said can raise lots of questions, and I'm glad that's the case. I'll be around afterwards to have a chat. But if you really want to know, is there a God, where is God, then I encourage you, if you don't know this God already, take a gospel, one of these red books, have a look. Pick up an activity sheet, a sheet of all the different activities that we do. That's on the back table as well. Because today, in our world that seems to be going even more and more crazy, there is no bigger news than this, no better news than this. God has done something. He is doing something about the mess. And he's going to come back and fix it all up. The Emmanuel child, God with us, Christ the King. God entered the world to save his people from their sin. No bigger news, no better news. So today, as you enjoy Christmas, and I hope you do enjoy the day, you might be sharing lunch, dinner with those that don't believe, have those kind of questions. Then remember, even just remember one word, Christmas is big. The Emmanuel child, Jesus, the Lord saves. There is no bigger news, and there is no better news for us and everybody. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you that you sent your Son, that Jesus came, and you could do no more than that. God coming amongst people. Father, may we remember today how big Christmas is, that you entered the world, that God entered the world to save his people from their sin. Father, we are thankful for that. And Father, may we take warning from all that we've heard as well this morning. And we pray and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.